now 4:31 p.m. Call this meeting to order. Laguam Regional Transit Authority Board of Directors meeting, Monday, April 18, 2016. Here at the DRTA conference room of the Chumanguam. Okay, roll call. Board of Directors, start with Joy.
Gerard Cruz, Vice Chair.
Penelope Gates, Board Secretary.
Serafina, Program Coordinator for DRTA.
Rick Augustine, Executive Manager of DRTA.
Andrew Tedinko, Board Member.
Daniel Asato, a member.
Myra Abaya, Administrative Officer.
Okay. And now on for the approval of minutes, June 22nd, still pending. Okay. And then we have the August 17 minutes up for approval.
I move to approve the August 17 board meeting minutes.
Second. Okay, it was moved by Gerard, second by Andrew. All those in favor?
Aye.
And then anyone opposed? None. Okay. For the November 2015 minutes.
I'll move to approve the November 2015 minutes.
Okay, it was moved by Gerard, second by Miracle Metalco. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? None. Okay, motion carries. And now for the executive manager's report, Mr. Augustine.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I got several items to talk about, to include immediate concern about the air conditioning system. And there was also an allegation by one of the media that as a result of somebody unfortunately dying at Route 10 in Manila, that perhaps this could be connected to where the DRTA bus stop is. That has to stop. This is a very sensitive issue. The police report's not out yet, and DRTA is not to be faulted for somebody crossing the street. It's like a driver hitting a telephone pole, and now we have to remove all the telephone poles in Guam. Having a bus stop in front of the Manila Pilas is a regular bus stop. It's a fixed stop bus stop and not a fast transit. So I'll go into that more. But first, I wanted to inform the board that we need to move forward with the transit business plan. Transit business plan is basically our master plan. This transit business plan was approved in 2010. It is now 2016. The transit business plan is our master plan. And I believe it's several hundred thousand dollars that was used to come up with this business plan. And on my watch, it's not going to gather dust. We're going to move forward with it. How are we going to move forward with it? There's some funding issues that we are going to address, and we will do that. But one of the things that we want to press forward, including during our board and staff work session, is how do we execute on the transit business plan? And for those of you who have not read the transit business plan, or have not yet had an opportunity to read it, please make sure you read it before we meet Saturday. The other part is that the current building where the Hagatna Mayor is, that used to be mass transit back in 2001 when we were abolished. In 2009, when we were resurrected as Guam Regional Transit Authority, nobody gave us any building back. And so if the current location where the Hagatna Mayor is not legally transferred to them, then we would like to get it back. And here's why. Since 2001, we have moved 5 times to include this building. And every time we move, we spend a lot of money renovating places. We lose records when we box them up and move to another location. It's bad on morale, and it's bad on service to the public. Because every time we have to move, service gets diminished. So this issue about us being a transit authority and also being transient is not gonna go. We have to claim our right to exist as an autonomous agency. 2009, we were created as an autonomous agency. A lot of people out there still don't know that. They still associate us with DOA. We are not part of DOA. We're also, we've been pressured by FTA, there's $237,000 of grant money. And that's for architectural and engineering. Now that grant money is for us to find a place in Guam, preferably an M1 property, light industrial, for us to build a maintenance shelter and a refueling station. Based on our transit business plan, we should have a minimum of 5 acres. For 50 vehicles and 10 acres for 100 vehicles. By the end of July, we should have a total of 23 vehicles. We already have 11 vans out here sitting in the parking lot. We got 4 17 passenger low floor van buses here already, and we just executed on purchasing 7 more buses. I was told by the vendor that by July, he should have those 7 buses here. Currently, the 4 buses that are here, one of them has already been branded. It's out here sitting in the parking lot. 2 is down at Guam Automotive Clinic to be branded. And 1 is sitting out here that's not yet been touched. Branded means to put our wrap and our logo. We have been trying to get the old cafeteria from DPW for our one call, one click dispatch center. However, at the end of the year, without the board's approval, DBMR took $138,000 of our budget and put it back to the general fund. Now, $138,000 it's a lot of money. We could continue to build on our bus shelters, add more benches, add more bus stops, buy solar systems, simple solar lights for our bus shelters. We haven't done that. We had phase 1 of renovating our bus shelters, and we did 7 of those. There's still a lot to be done, but without any money, we'll not be able to continue forward. Now remember that the budget that was given to us by the senators is strictly for bus operation. In other words, pay the bus service operator for their drivers, the mechanics, parts, and fuel, and things like that. But none for facilities. $138,000 could have gone a long way. On the transit business plan, 4 areas at the airport was mentioned as a possible place for transit to build their office, their maintenance shelter, and their refueling site. I put in a call to Guam International Airport to set up a meeting between me and Mr. Chaketa to go over the fact that it was mentioned by the contractor, PD, that there are potential areas where we could get our transit business plan and our maintenance building to be executed is mostly in the airport project. I've also been looking at other properties in Guam. I must have put in 1,000 miles over the last month, looking at 14 areas that is a potential location for our office and our maintenance shelter. A few months ago, the governor asked that we put those 11 vans into an interim use. Right now, the plan is part of those vans may be used for fastback, depending how many people with disabilities are coming in from the other nations. It is not going to be contracted out. It will be a memorandum of agreement between DPW and GRTA. DPW is going to put their drivers to drive it. A lot of those drivers have training to be able to pick up people with disabilities. Some of the school bus drivers actually drive for special ed, so they have the necessary training. But it is not a contract. Once test pack is over, we will get our vehicle back. The other vehicles are being worked where it's Guam Department of Labor, GRTA, and probably a VA, and this is going to have an agreement where they can use it, and then once we inject this, once the MSB is awarded, then those assets are going to be injected into the, you know, to the MSB. Okay. Again, it's not a separate contract. It is going to be utilized by the government, and the government is going to provide the drivers and not a contracted driver.
How about the fuel?
The fuel is going to be paid by them. That's going to be part of the MOA. As mentioned, we've bought 11 vans, 4 buses, and 7 more. As far as the ability to have legal advice, we have not been with, have not had a lawyer now going on 16 months. 16. And so we went out with an RFP last Friday, and hopefully we will have a legal, we would award for a legal service. We have just too many things going on and not have a lawyer to represent us or give us advice. We did open a bank account for the Guam Regional Transit Authority. As per Public Law 30-05, any money collected, for example, bus fares, those are called program income by the Federal Transit Authority. Any program income we can use for whatever we want to use it for. And I'm suggesting that we use that money for facilities. And also whatever we need for the office to improve the office and, you know, to get the equipment that we've been needing. Myra would explain when we actually did that. Now, going back more to the air conditioning unit. There were 3 vendors, GRN, JWS, and SE. The highest that when we did a market survey, calling out people to bid on this item, it was 12,853. The next highest was 9,350, and the lowest is 5,850. This particular contract is valid. It meets all of the contract requirements. We have competition, we have the money, we need the item, and we went out and hired somebody that came in for the lowest bid. Now, there's always been a disagreement between who is supposed to do repair and who's supposed to do repair renovation versus construction. When the air conditioner broke down, we moved in here. We're a tenant of DPW. DPW says, we've been working on this air conditioner for the longest time. It's no longer repairable. So, that's a brand new air conditioner. It's not repaired or renovated. It is brand new. if you go out there and you see on the side of the wall, there's actually a duct or a ventilation system that's brand new. It's never been there. That's construction. So it, this issue, whether it's renovation or construction, is clearly construction. Now, one of the remarks from DOA is, why don't you just have the vendor come here and take out the ventilation, take out the air conditioner, and rebid this item? I think that's ludicrous. Because one, it's going to cost us to remove, it's going to charge us for removing it, it's going to charge us for now, it's not a brand new air conditioner, and they're going to charge us that. For us to now go out and bid it, we're creating an unnecessary emergency condition. Because once we do that, we're going to shut down, I'm going to recommend to the board that we shut down the office for the safety of the employee, but we also have people with multiple disabilities that come to this building to apply for eligibility. We just can't have this building to be unsafe, not only for our employees, but for our clients. So that's where we're at, and if this thing has to go all the way up to the Attorney General for the proper call as to whether we should have the vendor come back and tear it up, that was not our call. That was a suggestion by DOA. We say this air conditioner that's brand new and the duct system that was installed, brand new, should be paid. Vendors should not be put in a position where, because the government agency is not clear on their process, the vendors should not be put in the predicament waiting for their money. The whole purpose of procurement is to foster competition. We're not fostering competition if we're not paying our vendors. I've been out there in many cases, and vendors would absolutely not want to do business with GRTA, and even the government in general. And why is that? I asked them, why don't you want to do business with the government? Because the government doesn't pay on time. That's basically what it is. And if they're not paying on time, then we're not fostering competition. Are there any questions on that item?
So, did you get the suggestions or advice from TSA to do that procurement properly?
I have not seen anything in writing. Everything I see is what's on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't move forward because something is written on the paper. Reporters report, talk show hosts talk, GRT executive manager goes by something concrete. Dear Mr. Augustine, here's our letterhead, here's our signature. This is what we recommend to do. And we will proceed with that.
Okay, and in light of all that came out in the paper, have any of them talked to GSA?
We talked to GSA. Actually, DOA is the one that's saying, they're telling us that it was not a proper procurement. It is a legal procurement. The thing that they're calling proper is this renovation or is this construction.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have an issue with that, that should not be the vendor's problem. We should pay the vendor what's due to them, and let's duke it up amongst agencies. Leave the vendor out of this. We have the money to pay. It's there. So we should pay it, and then if they say, you know, what is the proper process, then we can work it out. Last week, the senators that handle procurement, the OPA, the AG, and a couple other people that are very smart on contracting and procurement have met to discuss procurement process government-wide. And even those people have a hard time interpreting what is the proper procurement process. Now, if they're having a difficult time determining what's the proper procurement and how to go about doing it, adding layers of procurement policies and adding more and more layers, it's not going to make it easier for the line agency and the autonomous agency to conduct business.
Only because we're seeing this happen all over the place, we want to make sure that we're in compliance and following the correct
I'm going to Elmira to ask that they give us a letter instructing us what to do. But in the meantime, my recommendation to the board is let's pay this vendor.
What do you wish to say? 850?
No, 5,850.
5,850?
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Here's the problem.
Here's the problem.
I'm supposed to be the executive manager of GRTA. I have a $3.5 million budget. And for me not to be able to sign a contract worth less than $6,000, what is that saying? Is that saying that Rick,
don't want you to buy it?
You don't know what you're doing, or they don't trust you? The reason why we're in this predicament is we put layers after layers of policies and procedures because the taxpayer don't want bureaucrats like me to do anything stupid. You know, give it to my party or my nephew or my uncle, this procurement. Well, it's not going to happen on my watch. That's number one. Number two is I have the authority based on our 30-35 to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, because people do not understand our Enabling Act, there are agencies out here that have not known, they don't know how to let go or when to let go. There's too many umbilical cords tied to this organization. Too many. Budget, we have to go BBMR. Personnel, we have to go to DOA. Whether it's construction, whether it's renovation. Here's an example of another problem that we're going to run into. When we're going to put additional bus shelter out there, is it now we have to have one contract for construction, put the cement pad, and then when it's dry, we put out another contract for renovation so we can take those old bus shelters, fix it up, renovate it, and put it on this new concrete pad? It's very confusing. But when a vendor gets a contract for the cement pad, we should pay them. And when a vendor gets the contract for the renovation of the bus shelter, we should pay them. The 7 bus shelter that we got renovated a couple of months ago, the vendor, it took him a long time before he got paid. A long time. Even though we have the money. So what does that say? Nobody wants to do business with the government because the government doesn't want to pay on time, even though we have the money. $138,000 went back to the general fund, even though I have more projects to do. Did you know that is the 31st of December, we put in for procurement extension courts. One day you can use outdoors. The extension cord is so that we can plug it in a generator, plug the light set, and have lights down at the terminal, at the government terminal. Did you know that we still haven't got that extension cord? 31 December. Now, people always compare the government with a commercial enterprise. If you're a commercial enterprise, I'm the CEO of the company, whip out my credit card, go to Home Depot, get an extension cord, swipe it, 5 minutes, done. I give my receipt to my controller, it's approved, no sweat. Here, in the government of Guam, an extension cord that's probably less than $80 or maybe even $50 is still not here. Water, something critical to everybody in this room. 1 October, first day of the fiscal year. We didn't get our water till last week. We've been buying our own water. I have lost confidence in GSA to procure anything for us. Total loss. And this is out of frustration because I'm not just making up a story. It's proof that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Last year, 30 September, we could have lost $721,000 of ARRA money. We had that ARRA grant since 2009. When I asked DSA, why is it that up to now we haven't bought any equipment? He said, Rick, it's going to take 360 days to purchase equipment. This was last year. Remember, by September of last year, September 30, we would have lost that $721,000. From the fan rally and I got together at Myra and put the idea in our head that we wanted equipment. From the time it entered our brain to the time it got to one, 6 months. Because we went and got off-the-shelf vehicles. That is ADA compliant, Buy America, and it meets all the requirements of FDA. So, am I frustrated? Yes. Do we need to improve the procurement system? Yes. Do we need to pay our vendors? Yes. I have one more item to discuss. Unfortunately, one of our sisters died out here in Los Angeles. She is not a paratransit rider. She's a fixed route rider. Now, it is very difficult for me to accept the fact that people are alluding that this person may probably not got run over if we had the bus stop a little bit closer to public health. There is a bus shelter of public health, and that's where the paratransit riders get dropped off. The fixed route riders get dropped off at Megan Law in front of and close to the road on Payless. Just as a comparison, Redland has 54,486 riders for 2015. Okay, Redline, which is the bus that goes to Manila. Not one accident. For the first 6 months of 2016, we got 23,150 riders. Now, because one person got, we had a fatality in that area, that doesn't mean that now we're going to change every bus shelter that we have up there that where a potential for a person to cross the road. It's like somebody running through a telephone pole, and now we're blaming it on the telephone pole, and now we have to remove all the telephone poles in Guam. We are not part of a party to that incident, and until the police report comes out, we should not be entertaining these questions so that we can be pulled into this situation. I say this doesn't involve us. It involves us because she rode on our bus, but we have to remember that the federal highway money goes to a different agency to improve the roads, the stop signs, the crossroads, and pedestrian traffic and all that. That's not funded by transit. That's funded by federal highway. That's all I have for
How do you know that they made a police suicide?
How do you say that?
They cannot blame us about
No, I'm not going to go there. No, because that question has been asked, and people have been calling it here. And I just want to set for the record that we should not be dragged into this case. Otherwise, we would need our lawyer to talk to whoever brought it up. If the media brought it up, then the media's lawyer has to talk to our lawyer because this has had to stop.
Any other questions? Okay, we're moving on to a business. Bus fare increase.
This is one that Director Porter wanted to make sure that we are aware that we want to increase the fares. However, we're not there yet. To increase the fare requires that we go out and do a AAA process and that we should get enough data, but we need to keep this in our radar scope. that the bus fare increase is coming. We have not had a bus fare increase since Transit Authority was initiated. 35 cents to ride a paratransit.
Have you adjusted this already?
No, this yeah.
We did.
We
did, but what I'm asking is that, particularly at the work session, is that we review this because what was brought up in the past that came before the board for approval and out to the public does not meet the requirements of the FTA. And so we've had a couple of suggestions about how to establish some merit in the work session. I'd like to see that so that we can put it on for and get it ready so and take it out again to the public.
That and then when we had our other board, our advisory council in regards to...
We had some input from the advisory council.
Okay. So far from it still, or?
Well, we don't have a firm proposal before the board. So, and I brought it up and I asked the board to think about several things, and so to me, it is best to do it at a work session,
okay.
Bring it up the next agenda.
The idea is probably is an issue of timing. If the pushback from the riders is that why should I pay more? If I'm not getting good service, then once we install or infuse the system with brand new equipment, that would solve a lot of issue that has to do with equipment. I remember a couple of months ago where that was a really, really big issue, buses that are very old.
I also think on our last board meeting, which you were absent, we agreed to have a work session on the 23rd this weekend regarding this topic.
Okay.
That was actually what we're supposed to discuss on the work session.
Okay.
One thing that I forget to mention on my executive report is that the issue of one media outlet asking for the results of the alcohol and drug audit compliance. We have met our suspense date, which is the 6th of April. We turned it in about a week early. We got word from the FDA audit team that they received it. However, they have not yet posted it on their website. Once it's available on the website, then we'll let you guys know so that anybody in the public can go ahead and go to the website and have access and print it on their own. But we have met the compliance of turning in the report on time.
Okay, so on item B.
This last meeting, we did give everybody the resolution to read, and it was just supposed to be read, and then this week to be signed. I mean, this meeting to be signed. And basically what this is that we did talk about charging for replacement of ID cards that have been lost or stolen or damaged. Penny, do you have that so I can pass it around for signature?
Sure.
While we're doing that, Myra can go through her budget report plus the right assist statistic.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everyone. Let's do a recap of the RTA budget. For FY16, the RTA has allocated the total amount of $3,663,958. This is broken down as $3,213,290 from the Territorial Highway Fund. and 450,063 out of the public fund. So the balance of the FY16 DRTA budget is 3,663,958. However, we were asked to put aside 15% in reserve. And the total of the 15% reserve came up to 549,593. So if you will think about it, it's more than 500,000, and it's being put aside right now, and right now we cannot use it. And deducting the 15%, the money left for the FY16 GRTA operation is only 3,114,364. So out of that 3,114, 2,652,916 was allocated for the contractual, which is mostly 95% of that is going to the public transit operation. Payment, the monthly operation cost for public transit. So if you will think about it, the 2.6 mil versus the projected cost of FY16 bus operation of 3,508,386, we are already shortfall. Okay? We are looking at a shortfall of 1,148,284 from the local funds. However, part of the local funding, which is 243,868, was used to fund the MSB. And the total amount that was encumbered and used for the funding for the MSP is 850,000. That money is being held right now until the MSP is officially awarded. However, if the MSP is awarded, that 850,000 will become available. So that will take care of the 1,148 shortfall that we're looking at. So if we minus the 850 out of the 1,148, we're gonna have about 300K short. Okay, so going to the second phase of my report, you will see the FY16 bus operation expenses. Okay, from October to April, we already spent almost already 1.5 mil, and from May to September, we are projecting a bus operation cost of 1,478,000. So we're are budgeting 1.478 from May to September bus operation. So we're hoping that this MSD will be completed and will be awarded soon, so that 850,000 will become available. Okay. So.
Question.
Yeah.
Oh, this budget is radical. Taking 15% away from what they give it to you, they rob you.
That's how the government budget currently budgets.
And everybody's been robbed. Even U.S. Congress also has. Mm. They take 15% of the budget. That's not true budget. Mm.
Giving us something and then later on telling us to put aside 15% because according to them, it's being put aside as a fiscal restraint in case, you know, for the rain days or maybe other agencies will be needing more than we do.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not true about it.
You don't need to, yeah, you're correct, you're right. It will go back to the general fund if we don't request for it, if we don't use it.
Let me interject real quick. When we talk about the market share bid, we will not entertain any questions on the NFB. What I got from the lawyer, and we sent it out to all the media, is that, and I like to read, the following statement hereby released to the media on Thursday, March 10th, 16th. It's exactly what it says. We are unable to officially comment on the issue regarding the process of the multi-step bid until the process is conclusively resolved. In other words, this is not the forum to discuss it, nor would I discuss it with the media until it is resolved, because that's the guidance that we got from.
Can you give us a couple of minutes?
Okay, we'll give it a couple. And that was sent out to all the media and to the front office. So, whenever we're discussing procurement items that's ongoing, it becomes sensitive, and it is just not a good idea to talk about procurement when it's still very active.
You know, procurement law is the worst thing ever happened to one. I keep telling you about that. I talk to the government, I talk to the speaker about this thing. Why did you put a law that... You know why they put this law? Because they don't trust us. Nobody can trust it. They can't even trust themselves. You know? That's the reason why they do this.
We have to have some sort of structure.
Now we're going to create this office. That's another question.
I believe that we have to have some structure, but it's more common sense.
Thank you.
Myra, are you finished with the budget? So you can talk about the statistics.
Okay. Anyway, that is just a breakdown of the balance of our federal grant for your information. This is self-explanatory.
What
is it? So, tax base of the report. Now, I'm going to touch base on the ridership report. I know it's been a while that the ridership report has not been reported or has not been included in our agenda, but from now on, we are going to include it again. As of now, I will just give you a summary of our ridership report. In FY15, I'll just give it to you because it's a last minute report that we prepared, and the summary is what I'm just generating to you as of now. But as of next board meeting, we will give you the complete breakdown.
So we'd like to wait.
Anybody has a copy of this?
No. Oh, no. Is that that map? Yeah.
I have that.
You got any
copies of any of this? There's more than
that.
Okay. Who don't have?
Yeah.
Okay. You can have mine.
Okay.
But I just want to simplify it for now. Okay. So let's start first with FY15. In fiscal year 15, the total rides for fixed routes was 188,986. Power transit, 46,560. So the grand total for the whole year FY15 ridership was 235,466. In FY16, from October to March, under fixed routes, we had 80,320 riders. Power transit, we had 23,340 rides. So the grand total ridership from October to March, that is fixed route plus power transit, is 103,660 as of March. So we're still going to have March, April, May, June, July, five more months to go. And then by end of this fiscal year, we will have the true figure of how much ridership that we had for FY16. Now, for the power transit eligibility list, According to our power transit eligibility listing, we have 897 power transit clients.
That's on the list, but active.
But the active is showing 428 active riders as of now. And as of March, we have 10 new power transit clients. So if we add 10 to the total power transit clients in the list, we have 907 grand total power transit eligible riders.
Why do we have that many on the list?
Because the others are, you know, they have not renewed.
We have not attempted to purge the list. Some may have already left the system, either left the island or are no longer using it. So how do we go about purging the system? Send everybody a letter and hope that they respond? We need some suggestions.
Okay. I think some of them went off island already, and some of them passed away. I'm sorry to say that. But the actual active riders, power transit riders right now that we are serving is 428.
How do we know that? Why is that 428? How do we know which that which is inactive? Because we have not purchased this.
Annually, you should take a look at that list and convert it. And then, do you have people on there who have expired? I don't mean that they've expired and died, but their eligibility has expired.
We have a procedure that if a person is no longer going to use it, then they should call in to use it. Otherwise, we're going to have somebody to get here and make a call to all 800 and whatever.
It doesn't have an expiration date on all of
them. And so, of the 900, they're still, in a sense, eligible.
We have a database on that. Database on the public transit eligibility listing. So, look, if we are going to review the listing, we will find out who are those riders that are no longer active. So probably we can check them out. But we are I'm just telling you right now, based on the listing that we had from the beginning up to now. So it doesn't mean that 897 total power transit clients are all using the system. So Michelle, the actual active riders are 428.
Those are people with active ID.
Those are not expired.
That are not expired. That's our current.
So are people who have expired ID, are they part of the 800?
Yes.
Take them off.
Yes, take
they're
them off.
Not eligible anymore, not mm-hmm. until they reapply. They're not eligible.
It's going to be very tedious for us to find their address and mail it to them, because they may have already moved from their home address.
You don't have to notify them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they have not renewed for quite a while. That's why I'm saying this is like an initial report. And then by next board meeting, we should have a more accurate report.
Okay. I suspect that 300 is probably a better number for us to have to seek for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll discuss on how to move forward with that. Okay.
That deals with your process.
Okay.
Oh,
it's okay. Yeah. So it's just a summary for now, and an initial report, and then by next board meeting, we will have a more current and more accurate.
Okay. We're running the same amount of service in regards to vehicles and days of service in 2016 compared to 2015. Okay. Well, our numbers are decreasing. If you look at the monthly total, almost every month is less. So we can project that we will be serving fewer individuals in the year 2016 over 2015.
And the graph will show you that it's been like what is happening. The graph, there's the graph. It's showing.
That makes sense, but as the economy improves and as more people immigrate to Guam to work, let me tell you that based on my report to Bureau of Stats, that we have a lot of immigrants riding our buses, and part of that data that I submitted to Bureau of Plans is for us to be able to show that we need help on compact impact. And I will put in a call to Bureau of Stats and find out if Guam has gotten additional money, and that I think our share is like $3 million. I'm willing to bet a dollar to a donut that we're not going to see any of those. But if they are serious and they actually got reimbursed, then we would ask them for our share, because we still need to buy additional equipment and we still need to improve on our facilities.
Okay.
You got one more. Mention the date that we opened the bank account and how much.
If I remember right, it's two weeks ago. Okay, that we opened a bank account with Bank of Guam. Okay, it's finally active. All the requirements were met. And the understanding is, on the check, there are two signatures required, one from the board and one from the DRTA. From the board, it's Mayor Lily and Gillard, and from the DRTA itself, it's Mr. Everson and myself, who is only if Mr. Everson is not here.
Okay, Myra, do me a favor. While Raleigh is giving his update, could you get the right date and the right amount?
Okay.
I'm sure you got it on your office.
Is that
That was discussed, and that was what the board opted to do. Is a check and balance. We either have on the signature on the check, if one of the board members that's on the signature list, and one from the management, which is myself or Myra.
Primary from the board is Mayor Ruiz.
It is, but it's a check and balance, board and that's what we agree on.
And from the management, everything is primary and unsolicited. Okay, so everything straight, we opened the bank account in April 7, 2016.
How much?
Bank of Guam, we had a deposit, initial deposit of
$32,861.26. Is it free? No,
$3 a month. They didn't mention anything about service charge, but I can ask for that.
Why not?
But they didn't.
Well, my counsel was the mayor.
Myra, just get a copy of our contract with the bank, and the next meeting. And in the next meeting, we'll pass it off to the board members. Okay.
One more question about. Out of order about the increase of fares. Some of the riders want it increased. I wonder why. Remember that?
Yeah. Some do and some don't.
So, to me, I feel sorry for the people that cannot afford it. Why risk it?
No.
I think we'll address that.
Well, we'll address that in the fact that there will be exceptions. Let's say you're on fixed income, you're getting $800 a month of Social Security. And that's for everything. That's for your rent, for your food, for your utilities, for your bus fare. So we will need to find a way to find out that population of people that cannot afford an increase, and we will talk about that.
Okay. I just found it, sir, the account fee, the minimum balance required is 5,000. If the balance went down 5,000, there's going to be a minimum fee of $15.
Okay, so we know we're not going to go down that low.
This is not profit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We should talk about it, okay. Because I was told when I went there, also for those senior citizens, 55 years old above, you need to tell them that you're a senior citizen, they will not charge you service fee. Service fee is the
okay. Let's talk about BRTA.
So it's the same thing with if we are non-profit organization, probably I can tell them, you know, we are non-profit. And maybe
okay. Just as a recap, this money is considered program income. This doesn't belong to BBMR. Okay. So if we need to buy additional equipment that we need here, we could get it done, but it always has to get board approved. Okay. We're not just going to go and buy something because we need it. We'll have the board approve if we wanted to get a projector, for example. So when we're doing a presentation, we'll need the board to approve it. Unless there's a dollar threshold that you tell us not to use. One of the things that I would like to mention now is that typically, I've seen it in other government meetings where they have a board, is that the board would authorize, let's say, $100 or less, petty cash to buy snacks. And that is very important because we come here at 4:30 and sometimes we don't leave till 7:30 and people get hungry and people do have illnesses that requires them to get something to eat to maintain their blood level. So that's something that we can discuss because other boards do have that policy. Rally?
Yes. This is my update in regards to all GRPA procurement charges. Last board meeting, I mentioned to the board that DPW maintenance has completed the inspection of 4 buses that were delivered to them. They noted in the inspection report that they have few deficiencies regarding the officials. 2 to 3 weeks ago, Jason Scuda, the vendor in regards to this bus procurement, corrected all those deficiencies. And he is in the process of branding the diesel right now. And as soon as the branding is completed, I will do a final inspection of all the vehicle and that's it in regards to that procurement. Just like Mr. Agustin mentioned, we're ordering 7 more buses. And Jason Scuda already signed and accepted the PO last March 31st, and those diesel will be arriving here by mid-July of this year. And the money, the funding that we use are federal funds. It's about $1.3 million
coming from federal
transit. Federal transit fund is coming from the continuing grant. It's 339 section. In regards, my second item on the list is in regards to the multi-step bill regarding the sensitivity of this project. Just like what Mr. Einstein mentioned, right now we'll just focus on much in regards to this because we have nothing to report in regards to this right now. We're trying to get information from GSA regarding what's going on. As soon as we receive an official response from them, probably we can send, we can report that to you on the next board meeting. The third item on my list is the RFP for the transportation management system software and hardware. We plan to officially announce the RFP this May of 2016, and probably that's the final in regards to that one. And in regards to the one call, one click dispatch center relation, our plan has changed because of funding issue, local funding issue. Instead of the DPW building being renovated, the one call, one click center will be housed in here. That's the decision of the executive manager due to the federal, due to the local funding issue in regards to it. There's a shortfall right now, and that's the decision. In regards to the solar power LED light post in Ganya, we submitted that to DSA for them to solicit the bid. And also the ADA compliant GRTA website, we submitted a scope of work to DSA for their final certification in regards to this one.
Okay, the scope of work for the ADA website, of course, has been an issue that could turn into an Office of Civil Rights complaint, because government agencies, especially agencies that are getting federal funds, have to make reasonable accommodation, not just, well, for bathrooms and entrance to a building, but also if you have a website, that if you're visually impaired or hearing impaired, there's a way for you to access our website and still get information. So we're working on that. Okay? A little explanation on that. Thank you, Robbie.
Okay.
Bids that came in from several vendors ranged from $39,000 to about almost $80,000, and that's to renovate the cafeteria over in DPW.
Mm-hmm.
The funds that we have that is federally funded is only $20,000. We were wanting to use $138,000 to the general fund. We used part of that for the renovation, and the rest of that money was supposed to go and get additional park shelters, park benches, park stuff, but we don't have it. So, here's what's going to happen. From here, it's going to be my office. Let's put another door here. And all of this is going to come off. The supplies are going to be transferred back to where we originally intended for you. For a break room for the employees, and there'll be three cubicles in here for the dispatcher slash scheduler. One will monitor transit, six routes, the other one will be pan transit, and the other one hopefully mobility. We have a pretty good write-up and research on how to request money to hire a mobility manager. And I talked to Transit FDA Region 9, and once we can justify to them to hire a mobility manager, we will put it up for this. Okay. Now, the concept of the one-call, one-click center is that there are federal funds to hire three employees using federal funding. The strategy is that we will work with the Department of Labor, DVOC, that's Disabled Veteran Program, where we would hire disabled veterans to come and work for transit using Department of Labor federal money. That's for training. It's always been our biggest challenge is that we cannot get people from anywhere unless we promise them a job. So the idea is, on the DVOP, the federal government, from the Department of Labor, will provide for the training. Once they get here, once we train them, then we incorporate them into employees of GRTA under federal funds, transit money. So where does that leave us for a conference room? After we renovate this area. We're on wheels, right? We get that 17 passenger bus and drive around for 2 hours and half on me. No, not really. I have gone out to several. Hotels and asked if they have a conference room that we can pay once a month that's ADA compliant.
so that when we have a meeting there, we would pay, and we will have enough room, and then we will do that once a month. And if we have a special board meeting, then we will pay them for that day. The idea is that instead of spending more money fixing the cafeteria over DPW, is that we would save a lot more money just by renting out a place until we get a permanent home. Spending $20,000 renovating this office versus paying an average of $60,000 for renovation of the cafeteria is a no-brainer. We save more money just paying a hotel for the use of this office.
Are we involved with the cafeteria?
There was a cafeteria over at DPW that has not been used for the longest time, and we mentioned on several of our meetings that we were going to renovate that. However, since $138,000 went back to the general fund, we don't have any money. So what we're going to use is $20,000 out of the 1.1 click, and we are authorized to use that. And that's
the Typhoon Food.
And that's the renovation still.
Yeah, but is this using Typhoon Food?
All the Typhoons that have been here, it is Typhoon Food.
Well, the reason why, because if we renovate place and we save a lot of money, Typhoon comes in, goodbye.
Well, we'll worry about that when that happens. We'll go to FEMA and see if we can get some help.
I know that there was $20,000 budgeted for the renovation, but where's the budget coming from for rental?
Same
part.
No, that is why I'm saying that the money that was local money, the 138, any money that's left over, I already instructed Myra that money to go for this meeting place once a month is going to be local money.
Okay. Because
if we don't spend that money, what's going to happen is the amount we say, oh wow, you guys didn't spend it, we'll grab it.
Okay.
That's the reality is we are in a time of agency, and DBMR does not have any right to pull our money without our knowledge. But we have allowed them to do that, and that's why we're getting the AG to support us moving forward. It's going to be a struggle. Before anything can happen, there's always chaos before we actually do progress. Okay. I did send an email to Central Edit Office asking that they do some research to find out who actually belongs to the building, who owns that building at the Agana Mayor's office. Because it's our contention, and I've asked employees that have been here longer than me, that building belongs to Mass Transit. We got kicked out in 2001, and when we got reestablished as regional, you didn't get a place. They say, send for yourself, and that's what we've been doing. We've moved 5 times already.
They tell them that much.
I was told that I'm supposed to be land management. And we'll move on that direction.
Because I know that that has to go through legislation and it did go through.
Right.
That's why the
Haganya Mayor is there. Yeah. And you guys are in the mayor's council, so you bring it up to the Haganya Mayor that Mr. Augustine is looking at your place to look for an eviction notice.
No, but if it was already given to him,
But I want to see that, because if they did that, we can now take that piece of paper from the legislature and say, hey, where's ours now? And you just don't get us out of it.
Did you have a PD also? Because of you moving into a different thing?
No, PD was here to have a
duty. You sent the USO?
No, not the USO. Right before when I went in, I have a duty. But that fire every morning is a mess over the wife.
So what I'm saying, Mary, is if they took our property, give it to the marriage council, then there's supposed to be an IOU check somewhere. Says GRTA, here's the check, go find yourself a place.
And in other words,
we don't have that.
Where's the paper?
Or if it's recorded in with
Where's
the paper
going to be? There's a appreciation from Haganya Mayor when they did that, when it was turned over. to unrelated with First Access for a long time.
Yeah,
and I don't know what happened to the property down at by the church or by the academy that used to be a Brian Mayer's office.
Legislature. Okay, so where does that leave us? We're homeless on wheels. So that basically it. We're transit that are homeless.
Okay. So we fixed that. If I'm not mistaken, it's already. Well, yeah. Going to legislation.
Okay, Riley's finished with his.
New business,
I've already discussed A, I've discussed C, Riley has discussed D, F I've mentioned, and H, which is we do have an existing bus shelter at the Manila Department of Public Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask Director Porter to talk a little bit about PestPac and what we've done so far.
We've been meeting weekly, Gerard and I and Executive Manager. We've been meeting weekly with DPW Transportation. And so far, we have commitments to use up to 6 of our vans for their service. We do not know how many people are coming in who need that service, at least.
We haven't.
We haven't been apprised of that.
Last week, they have not come out with
it. The drivers have been trained. As a matter of fact, the drivers who will be driving the vehicles were at one time driving public transit. So they've gone through sufficient training, and then I did one morning of training with them. They had opportunity to look at the vehicles, and so they're a little bit familiar, and they're anxious to be able to drive them and familiarize themselves with them. And I think Rick stated that we would like to release them sometime.
We will release it in 16 May, almost about 6 days before this fact.
Mm-hmm.
This way they get to drive around. We will have a joint inventory, just like when you're inspecting a rental car, inside, outside, and all the tools and spare parts and whatever. So when they bring it back, it's got to be all there.
We've assessed the pedestrian pathways going from the drop-off points, particularly into the baseball stadium. And a couple of weeks ago, we noted that some of the construction that they have put together was creating barriers to accessible pathways. So I'm not sure what that information is going to be passed on to the coordinator.
The last discussion was perhaps because transit is transit, and ground accessibility issues should be handled by Guam's ADA inspector. Who is that?
Ben Trevino.
Okay, but that we should invite Mr. Trevino to actually conduct this inspection, so that it's coming from the ADA compliant person in Guam, and if that's Mr. Trevino, then they're asking us to redo this ground.
Well, I would just recommend that Ben be given a list so he can do a second check.
This fact is a big problem. OPS, on our exam, businesses don't want to expect to spend any money. There are all kinds of problems for this.
It's a challenge.
You know that? And I'm the last one to know what's going on. I don't even know how many people are supposed to be. And according to Sabari, they told me that you have to feed twice. Come on now. It's supposed to be one meal.
Well, I wasn't here for the last meeting, so I don't know if you have something to add.
No, the last meeting was this. Just that we're going to give them the equipment on the 16th, which is a Monday. We still have not gotten the MOA. We still have not gotten the exact count on how many visiting people to Guam that would require a fast transit vehicle.
My suspicion is that we won't know until they arrive.
Right.
the camp called their delegation or the founders to find out that information?
We asked them over a month ago to do that.
The next thing that's going to happen that I am required to attend is a tabletop exercise on the 5th of May, and that's a whole day affair. Mm-hmm. I attended a 4-hour tabletop exercise at the Department of Homeland Security, and the tabletop exercise has to do with secure explosives and things like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has really changed.
On the Hampton part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have brought up issues that are concerned because the Adania Pool is listed as one of the parking areas.
Right.
For the press pass for the opening and closing ceremonies in particular, and our concern was to make sure that there was still a pathway for the buses to do their turnaround and do their regular pickup.
And they know that that is an issue that they have to address.
Mm-hmm. And also provide transportation, actually.
The regular transit that we operate for Guam remains the same. For fifth facts, the majority of transportation is going to be provided using school buses. For paratransit, they want to use our assets. Not all of it, probably 5 or 6, depending on the number of.
Just those.
Yeah.
Well, the point I'm trying to get at is North Korea come up with the idea that's going to put a missile over to Guam. Last Thursday, I was supposed to go to a party. I don't want to go there because a lot of people don't go to the party. Why? They're worried about North Korea is going to hit us. Okay? So the party failed.
Wow. Are they cool like me?
We're having a big party that night. We're going to a party.
All right. The item number, item B is something that we talked about, but we finally firm up my date to go to the CTAA. Convention. That has to do with transportation, but I'm not going to go there for convention to play golf or enjoy dinner or movies or rodeo. I'm there for training. 2 1-day training. So I'll be there for 2 days for strictly training. If I happen to meet somebody important, I'll shake their hands and give them my business card and I'll tell them my course plan from them. But I would go to Region 9 on my way back. Here's how my trip's going to take. Guam, Hawaii, San Francisco, Portland, back to San Francisco. Talk to FTA, the people that control the purse string for us, Region 9. Tell them about our challenges and some of our aspirations and plans to improve transit, and then come back. And that's basically it.
What's the name of the name?
So, we'll show you that. Okay. So that's basically, it has already been approved by the board. I'm just giving you guys an update as to when I'm leaving. So, I'll be gone on the 22nd. Ginger and Gerard will hold on the fort. I'll be back on the 29th. Ginger's leaving on the 31st. And test site doesn't end with the fort. So, I'll be here. Take care of the ending part of this thing. Okay, I think it's the 29th. I'll go to the
25th.
In the morning, which is a Sunday. Unfortunately, that's my wedding anniversary, so I'm making a sacrifice for the good of the.
That's a part of this.
My wife asked me which is more important. Your training or me? And we have to arm wrestle and I won.
No comment. Did you say no comment?
No, it's true. That's all I have, Madam Chair. The next portion is a public comment.
Nope, I think we're missing one.
What do I do? Okay, board nominees. We have the last 7 years. We had a vacancy for the number 7 position. We did submit 2 names about a year and a half ago, Jonas McIntyre-Luck, and we did remind the front office that we still want them to consider Jonas. And the next application was Evelyn Duenas, who's here. And we submitted her application about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We gave her a copy, a stamp copy that was received from the front office. Of course, we need also a replacement for Jason, Director Jason Cruz. So we basically have two positions that's open. The one that Jason left, then the seventh one, which has not been filled, and I understand that Mayor Gamatautau is not running for mayor, so come January, we would be needing a member from the from the mayor's council.
You guys make the selection.
So the mayor's council would select that.
I recommend
who's going to bring it up to the mayor's office? That's the question.
I'll go to the chairman.
Yes, she will do that.
Okay.
Well, an official letter from us anyway, from our office.
Somebody
might come from the board.
Yeah, it should
come from the board.
Yeah.
Saying that we'll be needing a replacement for Mayor Gamatautau.
Well, he still serves all the way till January. January.
Yeah, and they.
The first Monday is when the other one gets inaugurated.
So we would like to see a seamless transition.
It'll be smooth, or he can just turn it over to his whoever's the mayor of the appeal. Yeah, it could be that, or we can just give you a new name.
Okay, so is that going to be something that the mayor's council have to vote on?
Usually every year we pull out the boards and commissions, and we go through it to whoever would like to volunteer to be on the board.
Okay.
Or commission, or you know, each other, or there's a vacancy, season, or whoever would like to switch off, step down,
okay.
Whoever they can.
Okay. So far, I'm really looking forward to the selection of this number 7 person. My brothers would be that we get a veteran. Because we have a large veteran population in Guam, and I think that they need to be heard. And if there so happens to be a disabled veteran, then we need the disability part. Now, the mayor is also a veteran, but when he leaves, can he stay as a, can he fill in for another position? I don't know.
As a writer? I have to break my list first in the room.
Actually, there is a, there is one person who showed an interest as an advocate, Dr. Vince Akimoto.
Okay.
He's showing an interest in becoming a board member.
Under what category would he fall?
I'm assuming it's under the makeup, maybe an advocate.
Okay. You see, no, I'm asking whether he's a veteran or is he's not mayor. It's not
what,
mayor.
What is the composition position that's open?
That's number 7 spot.
What would that be?
Spot nomination from the governor.
The governor.
Yeah, because number 6 is Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7 has not been filled. Has not been filled since 2009.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just letting you know he showed express interest.
Okay.
No problem.
So just like anybody else, put in his resume, his application, and we'll move it forward.
I would like for the board. For us to send a letter to the governor and asking that we have urgent need for appointments and that we've had 2 applications before him for a long time and they've both been recommended by the board. So, you know, and I apologize for being late today when I left the meeting, then I ran into a line of cars that were behind an accident. So it took me longer. But, you know, just one of, if 2 of us right now are not able to make a meeting, we don't have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, there really is some urgency. And we've recommended some good people, and I think that this consideration is to make an appointment.
I think you have to drop a letter to the governor.
I think there should be a letter from the board.
To the governor, from the board, yeah. And then maybe Madam Chair can sign it.
Or we all sign it.
Yeah.
All four of us.
Yeah. The governor, the DMR, you have to request for your money.
The way it's currently done, and yes, DMR will ask us how much we need, and I said $9 million, and then they come and say, no, you're only going to get 3.4 or 3.5 or 5.
How much is it?
Yeah, we'll give it to them.
The
Chief
has a line
with the Chief right now. And they're treating us as land. The OPA herself says, you have a very unusual case because you are in a simultaneously, but yet you don't go before the legislature to talk about your budget. What has happened is we have allowed BDMR to do that because they probably think that we're still part of DOA. We're not. We're not a line agency. And we're going to claim our right to exist as an autonomous agency. If we don't do it now, forever hold your peace.
And the only way to do things properly is cooperate with the situation. Because those two never get it wrong. They never get it wrong.
Sometimes they just wasting our time and giving. Tell us your wish list for the next of the year.
Awesome.
And then later on they're going to cut it.
You were here, and Andy was here. When we sat here with BBMR, and Gerard was here, I think, and we told them what we wanted. But, you know, they still think that they're the one that's calling the shots.
Remember they said the same thing to the senator, said, look within your means. What means is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Everybody is passing.
So the next part here, Madam Chair, is a public comment.
But going back to your trip, Ms. Ginger is asking what type of training you're going to attend. She's going to be attending transit marketing for community and public transportation. And the second day would be network design for small cities and rural areas.
We're looking at, I don't want to know how New York City does theirs. I want to know how Walla Walla, Washington does theirs. Something similar to the size of our community.
We'll compare ramen and noodles?
Yeah, we're going to compare agar and banana, not apples and oranges.
Wrong brown, you mean the entire island?
Okay. Public comment?
Hey, what
are you signing in for public comment?
I
wouldn't
have something on the OPS.
What is? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm just pointing out that it is public comment. Public comment for.
Okay. So, but then, Evelyn, you want to go ahead and bring it up?
Comment your private.
No, she signed up
public comment.
Okay, so we recognize Evelyn doing it.
Jenny, make sure you have the microphone close to the Evelyn, please, after what you said.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Evelyn Dwayne. I'm individual with disability who access transportation 6 days a week. And for the past week now, all I've been dealing with is problem after problem. And the thing that gets me is pretty much everyone between the provider and the agency, which includes a few of you, Ms. Augustine, the executive manager, directors, Ginger Porter, and executive man, the chairperson of the board, Ms. Louise Rivera. I have communicated with basically each and every one of you. As for the provider, I had no luck there. The communication between the provider is only within the means of dispatch, which is schedulers and dispatchers. There are some situations that can be rectified by the operator, by the contractor in itself, but there seems to be, which is a repetitive problem, nobody available, but scheduler slash dispatcher slash, according to them, the dispatcher becomes supervisor in some cases. But the weakness to them is the individual that's supposedly assigned as supervisor is not able to give authority if the manager is not available, or supervisor is not available, or GM is not available, whichever it is. So the system becomes unreliable. To me, the system is not a service anymore. The system is a burden. And the reason for that is because having repetitive problems that is affiliated with OCR is rising again to a higher extent. I have tried to work within the circle of service, but it has overwhelmed me. Just this morning, I called. I was at the doctor's clinic. I had a 10:30 pickup scheduled, but when I called dispatch at about 10:01, I was notified that the bus will be arriving late because the bus is heading to Jigo, then down to Manila. So I already know that within that time, the bus is going to arrive late. Aside from that, it started to rain at the doctor's clinic, so I went in to get shelter because my scooter is not supposed. It's not waterproof for that. And I'm not either, so I went to the shelter. From my understanding with all the trainings that were provided to the driver, is that if they don't see the individual that they serve with a mobility aid or mobility device, they have to get down and go as far as the door and see if the client is there. Aside from calling in to get that again, and having the phone ring numerous times and no answer. What did that get me? Nowhere. So technically this has been a problem for more than a month now. I tried my due diligence to communicate with management and the operational side, but that never worked because of course I know that everyone is always busy. That's understood. But when it comes to the operation you handled and you served, at least once, twice, hear your customers out. Instead of fiddling back and forth to say, I'm only trying the best I can. I can't really do that at all. My key question is, if they cannot do it, then why be there? And then, to signify, going back to saying, we have to go back to, we have to wait for DRT. Why do you have to wait for DRT? You handle the operation. Shouldn't there any remedy somewhere? Why does DRT always have to be in the picture? Especially on weekends or after working hours. Where do we get all of the GSM? The targeting, your software has to be readily available if that's the case. Or somebody from this board. Because that is the response I would always get. I really don't need that. I really am tired of writing reports for repetitive reasons. And there's no remedy, no response. We have buses down every day. The bus is late every day. I work with that. Because it's work within our means, right? But that's overwhelming already. When I'm late, I get left behind. When they're late, I sit and wait. No plan B, no plan C. There are times when I just feel that it's too much already. Too much for them, it's more too much for me. Because I deal with it every day. It's an obstacle for me every day. It's a barrier for me every day. Can somebody help me fix that? Not just for me, but literally the people that go through it. Do I have to cry myself every day just so people can really see what the problem is? No. But when I got overwhelmed, that's what happened. Because I'm overwhelmed with frustration and anger. Not only am I a person with a disability, but I hate to say it, which includes the system. And it is not right to just sit and know that there is a way to fix it, but we can't fix it. I become, again, after a decade or two, a critic to the system. Do I want that? No, I don't want that. I want to be able to work with everybody and people to empathize with me, not feel sorry for me, and to hear in some cases that I get the service better than anybody. No, I don't. Because if I do, I'm not here. I'm on my own. I don't need this. I don't need all these problems. Just yesterday, I'm going to leave it as a lasting matter. And technically it's not. But occasionally I'll put it as is to ease everybody's mind. 8 o'clock in the morning, or even before 8 o'clock, I called the provider regarding a driver that I suggested for my safety, for his safety, for the equipment safety, not to drive anymore. But yet, if he's still there. I communicate with dispatch. What does dispatch do? Turn around and call CRT. I looked at that and I asked the dispatcher literally. I said, why'd you call GRT? This is not GRT's fix. This is your fix. Or correct me if I'm wrong. So I get a call from GRT. Here's up. Nothing matter, not her fault, but I placed it as a laughing matter so I can calm down. This is Michelle. Ms. Evelyn, this is too early of a problem. True and correct. Too early of a problem. Which it shouldn't be Michelle to entertain it. It should be the provider on their own to entertain it. Because one, GRT is not controlling the drivers. Two, GRT is not controlling the operation. Three, the bus operation ain't over here. It's over there. It's with a different company. So with all due respect, do I call GRT or do I call the provider? Question to that answer, I call the provider. The operation starts at 5:30 in the morning. Between the hours of 7 to 9, the phones ring off the wall. It doesn't get answered. Again, repetitive problem. Several times I canceled my schedule ahead of time, but yet the bus comes up to my residence. When I speak to the driver, oh, they didn't notify me. So that becomes a no-show for me. Is it my fault that it's a no-show? No. It is my fault that the phones are not being answered? No. Majority of the time, I would try to work with the system to accommodate not just me, but when they ask, can we get you early because we got such and such here, or they do this number. I don't have the bus in that area. Can I get you at this time? My understanding to this whole thing is if you don't have a bus at that area, then work with whoever can authorize to have a bus in that area and put a bus in that area. Not for me to accommodate just going. I can exit out even though it's super early. But those are problems that have gone over my head over and over, and it's been written up back and forth. Is there a remedy to it? Yes. Is it going to cost money? In some cases? Yes. In some cases? No. Is it for me to figure out? No. But I choose to pitch in and help out a little bit. Because we know, I know where the system's at. But yeah, still, this problem occurs. So can somebody, it doesn't matter who, take these things away from the system and fix it. That's all I ask. Okay. It fixed it.
Thank you very much, Governor.
We have a response to, I'm sure that I think submitted written testimony in last week.
I've read the OCR that was conducted back in 2010, and we did not actually get a complete write-up from Department of Justice until 2012. That same issue was brought up, and the same issue was taken up for your signature to go to the service provider to address the fact that there are certain protocols and the number of rings on the phone, and they could be answering the phone. Now, are they structured to have more people to answer the phone, or is the phone answered by the same dispatcher and scheduler and everything else? So it is an issue about answering the phone, because if you don't answer the phone and somebody tries to say, I don't need the ride, and then the bus shows up, an issue of cost and also fuel. Plus, that ride could have been used something else. It was also recommended that we got from Evelyn that recommends that we stop the bus operation completely. This is completely stopping all bus operations until the service provider gives up to what is expected from there. So, Mr. Innes is recommending to me that we stop operations. Not the bus operator, not the provider anymore, bus operator, they know how to fit the system. So would that be fair to the rest of the riders to stop the bus operation, or do we address the concerns that Ms. Drainis has on her behalf? I don't think stopping the bus operation for everybody else, because she's mm-hmm. running into an inordinate amount of problems affecting her. So what is the answer? Do we get Ms. Duenas a taxi until it's resolved? Or expect the bus service operators to have more people to answer the phone? Surely that's a less expensive way to get more people to answer the phone and provide the service when needed. However, as we were just mentioning about half an hour ago, that we have over 428 people on the paratransit list and only six buses. So it's a shared ride. So do we have enough assets to respond to everybody's individual needs? No, we're not going to be perfect because we don't have enough capacity in the system to handle 420. So we would address the issue with the OCR about the phones not being answered. Okay? And we have that letter that was for your signature
mm-hmm.
to go to KEI. And the reason my signature is not there, but that I don't want this thing to be confused that I'm now signing this letter and it may be associated with the current protest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. There's two things going on here. One is the day-to-day service provider, month-to-month, and the other thing mm-hmm. is the protest, and that's totally two different items altogether. And that is why my signature is not on that letter concerning mm-hmm. the OCR. And yes, I have referred back to the OCR.
I want the system to start.
Yes, I did, but not completely because of me.
No, no, I'm not saying because of you.
Why is that?
The recommendation is to shut the system down until they fix it.
Yeah.
By shutting it down, we're putting more pressure, or the facility put more pressure on the provider so that they can provide better service. So the question now becomes, do we really want to do that?
And yes,
the issue with the OCR is being addressed again.
We should correct this problem with our destroying system.
Is anybody willing to fix it? Because it has been ongoing. Ongoing back and forth.
My question is why are the only ones complaining though?
Can we stop one at a time? And because sometimes this is one of the issues, who said what? Go ahead.
My question here is why are you the only one making a complaint? It must be more than that, actually.
There is one. But I cannot answer for those that don't want to step up. Okay? I cannot answer for those. But there is more. It could be maybe the feeling that if they speak up, the system will turn against them. Technically, I know the system will not turn against me. Because the system is for individuals with disabilities, like myself, as well as others who require that system service. But because I'm the only one, I don't know how to address that I'm the only one. But this is really affecting me.
If we have the providers, the representatives, we can ask them to.
We can tell them that this letter is coming.
Yes.
And they would have to answer that.
I would like to address the phone issue.
Okay.
This has been an ongoing problem
I can remember, Louise, when we sat in a board meeting at the old office, and Travis was in attendance, and I remember you saying, Travis, you don't have enough people in that phone center. And that had to have been how many years ago? A long time ago. So, it is true. I did some research, and there are OCR guidelines, and it is true that anybody who contracts service for us has to stand in our shoes. So, when you don't stand in our shoes, we're at fault as well. So, we carry the burden as well as our providers carry the burden. And I do know that there's a serious problem with the phone issue. There's guidance that indicates that there must be a plan to have phone coverage, particularly during peak hours. So, and we know that those basic peak hours were in the morning. Emmy and I sat and talked about it. So, our interest is what's the plan. And I think that's probably what's in there, because it does need to be resolved. It's an issue that you have, that we also have, because we carry that burden as well. So we'll be interested in seeing what your plan is to come up and address that. I know I called today, it was about 6 rings before I got somebody. Okay. And I just didn't have a conversation.
We got the letter signed, and we give it to someone, we'll wait for a response. We still have a quorum, even if the director,
6:30.
He has a 6:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would go into, if there's no more discussion, we'll go into the executive session. And then I reminded the staff that after the executive session, the staff comes back.
Okay.
Okay. If the rest of the people that attended the meeting that's not staff want to come back after the executive session, that's fine also.
Okay.
I got a minute, so
6:30. We are going to
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for being here with us.